This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it's good morning to you and to you and especially to you. And you can feel autumn's arrived. It's nippy. All of us are cuddling. It's cuddle season.
Very nipply. This shirt that I'm wearing in particular
nipply
tells everyone there's a chill in the air.
There's a nip.
There's a nip in the air. There's two.
Nathan Rowe, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Alan
It's
Ford?
So good to be on the show. This is The Unview, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. And always remember, we're never ever that thin. We're never ever that rich, but we're always that fabulous. It's really good to be with you.
Yes, thank you. And you as well.
You've had a very interesting week. Yesterday you were throwing paint at people and drinking coffee. And what happened?
I went on a sensorial expedition.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a coffee tasting for smell.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to smell coffees from all over Africa. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. After a while, it just smells like coffee. Mm-hmm. But it starts off smelling really interesting.
Okay, got it.
You know, if you sniff enough coffee. Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
And then I went to the Victoria Yards. Have you ever been to the Victoria Yards?
No, help me.
Oh, absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful little market. It's kind of like run-down old buildings that have been converted into like hipster hangouts, you know.
Yes, so it's open on a Wednesday. Lovely. And busy.
Well,
that's
when the market is, I think. But I think it's open all the time.
Okay. Oh. At night time or?
Well, no, I think during the day.
Who goes in the day? Don't people work in Johannesburg?
I don't think so.
No, perhaps not.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was wonderful. Got to meet Tsepo, the jean maker. He's going to make me some jeans. I'm very excited about that.
Okay.
We got to throw water balloons. Well, not water balloons. Paint balloons.
Paint balloons.
At a massive canvas, which is just so therapeutic. You know, when you've had a rough week, you're angry. You know, you've sat in Johannesburg traffic. You just want to throw something and watch it explode against a wall.
Okay.
You know, it was wonderful. It was very therapeutic. And then we went to a little bar called Syntax,
mm-hmm.
Which is in Rosebank. It's a little hidden thing where people can take their side chicks and they won't be seen from the street by the significant others. And
okay.
It's a little dark pub. It's fantastic. It's so
okay.
beautiful.
Okay, wow.
So, yeah, so Stimroll took us on that adventure. It was wonderful, yeah.
And we'll talk, because I'd like you to sing the song for us a little bit later, but your new album, your new song's out.
Yes, it is out, and it's going.
How's it doing?
It's doing wonderful. I did a fantastic interview on Morning Live at Hoppers 5 on Sunday morning, and, you know, so many people watch that at that time.
On a Sunday morning, especially with rock music.
But it was fantastic, because they shared the YouTube clip, and everyone watched that, and we got some really good feedback from it. So yeah,
that is great. We're going to pick that up in a moment. Yes, this is cliffcentral.com.
Do you need music?
Yes. Today on All About Theatre with Monte Cassino, classical ballet likes to take itself very seriously, which may explain why a lot of comedians and ballet don't go together. Yet those who love tutus and tiaras we'll have a good laugh this coming week at Monte Cassino. And on today's show, I welcome the international stars from Men in Tutus, who are with us in studio. We've got Victor Trevino, we've got Joseph Phillips, and we've got Sean Pecoraro. All in studio performing, and yeah, it's just going to be really fun. And then also joining us in a moment, we'll have Candice von Lichtenberg, who is an award-winning actress from the musical Into the Woods. And I must tell you, I'll never forget the one role that she played. Also, on the theatre stage, was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. She had the biggest boobs that just bounced in everyone's face. It was really, really cool. So, yes, it's All About Theatre with Monte Cassino. They've got it. And let's begin with Victor. Welcome to the show, Victor. Victor Trevino, the founder and the artistic director of Men in Tutus. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It started in 1996.
Yes, it did.
23 years.
23 years. It seems like just yesterday.
Victor, firstly, everyone is slightly confused. Let's just do this, you and I.
Okay.
Firstly, it's Men in Tutus.
Right.
So, are we watching classical ballet? Well, some people say it really is. Or are we seeing comedy meets ballet? Or are we seeing... What are we watching? What is Men in Tutus?
It is... it's classical ballet with a twist. So you're going to see ballet, but obviously it's not... it's tongue-in-cheek, it's fun, but all the dancers are trained, so, you know, if you know dance, you're going to really appreciate it from a dance perspective. And if you don't know anything, you're just going to have a great laugh, so don't worry.
I love that, because that's what everyone's trying to understand, is what is it? What is this? And men in tutus...
It doesn't cost very much to come find out, yeah. So please come join us.
Absolutely, and we cannot wait, my plus one and I, my other half, because he loves the ballet and I love comedy, and this looks like the perfect combination.
It is a perfect combination, yeah. It's a good way, if you've never seen dance before, this is the show to start with.
How big is the cast?
The cast is 16.
16 people. Okay, and then you've got principal roles, which majority of them are playing in tutus, obviously.
Yes, obviously. And if we're in female roles, we put on our little tutus and we put on our pointe shoes and we dance on the tips of our toes.
And you do proper tip.
Yes, exactly like a ballerina.
What is the word? Let's help us.
On point.
You see, you want to be on point.
Yes, so they have to be on point. And that takes a little while to learn. It seems simple, but actually it's quite a skill that takes time to master.
And and Victor, you've been doing this for 23 years. Do you dance?
Well, still. I call it dance. I don't know if the audience will, but so, you know, hopefully they will. They'll agree that what I'm doing is dancing. Yes.
But and still, after 20, you can go and point.
I am the oldest male ballerina in the world. Yes, at this point.
Really?
Yes, I am.
That is brilliant. Now, in the studio, we have Sean and Joseph, both performers in the show. Sean is from Australia and Joseph Phillips is from the USA. Sean, you're a big guy.
I am indeed.
How tall are you?
I am 6'4" or 193 centimetres.
Okay, all right. Wow. And you're in a tutu.
I'm in a tutu and pointe shoes, so I haven't measured, but that puts me another size 12 on top of that.
Okay, so you're 7 foot. You're yeah. A big boy.
I think there's an Asian woman that had something to say about that.
Audience is especially amazed with the dancers dancing on point, since men have bigger body build and heavier weight than women.
I just love that. You have a bigger body build.
And that was from a Malaysian interview that was done with you guys, so we just thought we'd play that.
Okay.
Do you want to play it again?
I don't know.
We can't find the point. Okay. All right, you can't find the point. So Sean, you're a big boy. And how long have you been dancing for, performing?
So dancing itself, I've been since I was 3, so a very long time. But dancing in the company I started last year, and I've been training on point for just under 10 years.
Okay, so you perform in ballet. That's your.
I'm a contemporary dancer by certificate, okay. But classical is where my heart is.
Okay, divine.
I think people also need to know that it's not usual for men to train on point.
No, this is important. No, that's the point.
This is a new thing.
Well, you know, the point shoe is meant to be make somebody look like they're floating, and that's usually not a quality you want a man to have, a floating across the floor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's really usually reserved for the ballerinas and the ladies. Mm-hmm. But we thought we'd take a crack at it.
And also the weight on the point, does that not... serious damage to your feet?
Well, for Sean, you're a little heavier than I am.
Yeah, no, my feet look like mashed potato, like they're pretty feral, but they look good in shoes.
So basically, Sean has hooves.
Yes.
But I mean, again, it's this production, it's rave reviews across the world. Yes. I mean, and it's been going, as you said, for 23 odd years. Joseph Phillips. Now, Joseph, you play the male role.
Right.
So help us here. Just for people that need to learn, if we're not ballet specialists. A female is a ballerina, and a male...
is a dancer.
Is a dancer.
Okay. You had a U in there. I don't know why, but that's what it is. It's a dancer.
A dancer. Okay. So you're a dancer. So basically the male form of the ballerina. What is it like picking up these men? Literally.
Well, I've been quite fortunate. The two that I have to partner with are lighter than some of the girls I pick up.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so when I first got into it, I thought it would be different, but actually it's not really different at all. Mm-hmm. I when I'm partnering them, I do exactly the same thing I do Except we add some jokes into it, but I do exactly the same thing I do what I would do in a traditional ballet company.
But you should have seen his face the first time he came up to me. He was like, you know, I've never done this before. And I was like, you know, we're just dancing. We're not doing anything else. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Oh, you came with very high dancing references.
And on that note, Victor, tell us all about Joseph's references, because you have quite a resume.
Yes, Joseph is an incredible dancer. He's won a lot of awards, and he was with American Ballet Theatre, which is the premier dance company in the United States. And he was the main principal at the Marinsky Theater
in Vladivostok.
Whatever he said, that place.
In Russia.
Yeah, in Russia somewhere. And so now he's an international guest artist, and we were lucky enough to have him. And besides all his incredible dancing, he's just a nice piece of eye candy.
Aha, lovely. Now, Joseph, when you're picking up these men, what does your wife say back in the Philippines?
Oh, She's fine. Yeah,
I think she prefers it. I wanted to open it up.
I think she prefers I go on a tour with all men instead of a tour with all the women. She doesn't have to worry.
Okay, we got that one. Okay, interesting. So I thought we just were a bit of fun. Could we see you do something?
Like,
sure. I don't know. Sure. Okay, so stand up. Let's get some music.
And we'll narrate.
We'll narrate it. Hold on, kids. Can I ask someone to film? Jacques, if you don't mind filming. We've got DJ. They can't hear the music.
No, they can't hear the music. Okay, we need to.
We have to turn everything off.
Yeah, I don't know how.
A fish? Can you do a fish with me?
Do a fish? Yeah, let's see. Do a fish. Okay, let's see.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, fish.
Oh, he's doing a fish. He's holding him like a basket of fruit by the thigh and the chest. Yes. Oh. It looks like.
Usually we do that with somebody younger.
All right. That was just. So basically, what we've seen in studio, which was a fish. I would highly recommend that you go off to Monte Cassino and see more fishy stuff happening on that stage.
All right. Can I just say you were absolutely terrible at narrating that?
No, because I was in awe. My face went to the side.
your face went to the side. All right.
So, guys, it's really good to have you in studio, and it's fantastic stuff. And I can't wait. We're going to do chat a bit more about men in tutus in a moment. We're going to chat now in a moment to Candace von Lichtenberg, who is one of South Africa's top actresses and has been in a number of magical shows and musicals across the board. And yeah, we're going to chat to Candace in a second. But now you went to the opening of Dark Carnival. What's that? Now, that's in Monte Cassino.
So this is totally my bag.
I know it's your bag. That's why I sent you.
I went to Monte Cassino. They've opened Dark Carnival, which is a geek store, basically. Okay. So it's got everything. If you're a comic book geek or a anime geek or a just a cartoon lover, they've got Deadpool chopping boards. They've got... you don't know what a Deadpool is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. You haven't heard of Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, yes, he's very good.
So he played a very famous superhero called Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
So now there's Deadpool merchandise for days. So
Victor, do you watch Deadpool?
I do, actually.
Oh, good God. Candace, do you watch Deadpool?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Everyone knows Deadpool.
Deadpool is here for me. Okay.
So, yeah, so they've got all this Deadpool merch, which is fantastic. They've got a lot of Dragon Ball Z. I know you don't know what that is either.
No clue.
Have you never needed to collect 7 Dragon Balls and make a wish? Come, Alan. You could have been thin all these
know
years.
What do you know what they're talking about? Joseph, do you know?
I have no idea.
I'm so with you, Joseph.
Yeah, because just like Joseph, you've been, you know, spending hours and hours in the studio practicing stuff, so you've missed all that.
All right. Yeah. But it's for all the... Because, you know, they have that big event that happens...
Comic-Con.
The Comic-Con.
Yes.
So this is the store that basically now supplies the stuff for...
So Dark Carnival is an international brand, mm-hmm. and it's actually fantastic because geeks like me, you can't get the thing you want always, so you have to go shopping online. But now you can order it through Dark Carnival, have it delivered to the store, and go pick it up. It's fantastic. Cuts out customs, cuts out all that rubbish.
Okay, so this sounds really cool.
Anything where you don't have to deal with the South African government is just fantastic in my book.
As we come up to the election. Thank you. We know where you'll be voting. to some extent.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. So, Dark Carnival, check it out at Monte Cassino. It's got a massive dragon on the wall outside that they built from mm-hmm. a skeleton up okay. to a life-size
where
dragon.
Is it?
So it's just opposite. Do you know where Billy G's is?
Yes.
Yeah, the big buffet place. It's mm-hmm. just there next door.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's Dark Carnival opened this week.
Yeah, yesterday.
And this is it's really cool.
It is fantastic.
We've got to go there. I've got to go and see this.
You need to educate yourself.
Yeah. And is the comic books like the old classic Archie?
So they don't sell comic books. They sell comic book merchandise.
Okay.
So they sell everything comic book related, everything anime related, gaming stuff, a lot of gaming stuff. I saw a lot of Fortnite stuff there.
Mm.
Fortnite is not 2 weeks. It's actually a game that all children are addicted to. Parents are very worried about it.
I love that. That is very, very cool. Okay, Dark Carnival, don't miss the store. Now, Candace.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Award-winning actress.
If you say so.
You've played very interesting roles, Candace. I love the role that you played, which is a bit of a swing role to some extent in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah, sort of a featured
cameo
part,
which you were nominated for Fleur de Cup, which is unusual for that particular role, because of course there was because you played different roles within that show.
Yeah, I was within the ensemble and then stepped into Shirley as well.
You have your own production company called Canned Rice. You're based in the Western Cape. And you're just overall fabulous. And you play Jack's mother in Into the Woods.
Yep. Abusive, alcoholic Jack's mother.
She's abusive. She's alcoholic. She creates a lot of things with this giant, big problems. And she wants to be rich.
Yes. Well, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
And thin and fabulous.
We can't want more in this world. But so Into the Woods, a great piece. Sondheim's, this is your third Sondheim.
Yes. Okay. I did Assassins and Sweeney Todd before this.
Is it amazing? Because I think you're the only person in the company that's done three.
I think so, yeah.
You are. I think I'm
one of the few people in the country, really, who's been lucky enough to... Every time there's a Sondheim, I get a phone call.
So what do you love about his work?
Everything. It's like doing the Shakespeare of musical theatre. Bugger Andrew Lloyd Webber and all that nonsense. Sondheim really gets to the core of relationships and... You know, musical theatre can be so much fluff sometimes, which is lovely to do. You know, I've done the Priscillas and the Annies and things like that too. Mm-hmm. But to get to do that work, that like seminal, brilliant stuff that really gets to the core of who human beings are, is always amazing and very difficult. You don't get to breathe in a Sondheim.
Are you saying Mr. Mistopheles is not who human beings are?
Oh. It's not even who cats are.
Right. Good point, actually.
Now, the interesting thing, Candace, about this particular piece is that when I went to see it, you don't stop for a second. How is it? It's 3 hours nonstop. 2014.
Yeah, okay, but except that little bit where I'm watching Netflix after I die. But
she dies.
Everyone dies.
Everybody dies.
It's like Hamlet.
Everyone dies. But it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Earl Gregory. You're on your feet. You're going the.
Well, Earl has the hardest job of all. I think. Yeah. I mean, he plays the baker, and he. I don't think he leaves stage unless somebody suddenly has a solo.
Yeah.
And then he's just trying to cool down, basically. Yeah. But, it really is nonstop, and it takes its toll on your body. Let me tell you, after a certain age, it is not a good idea to be falling down as much as we do in this show. So everyone's backstage rolling things out, and Kai Tai next door is making a fortune off us because we're in there having massages constantly.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, that's good news. Okay, that's another spot in Monty that you can go visit, the Thai restaurant with the Thai massage.
It's lovely.
All happening there. But again, you don't stop on this.
No.
What is your favorite piece?
Within the show?
Within the show. What is your favorite scene?
Besides the bit where I'm backstage just relaxing and watching Netflix.
Yes.
I have a lovely little bit with the baker's wife where it's just so lovely to, you know, because the show is just nonstop with things happening. And I get a bit where I just get to run on and just make the audience piss themselves laughing. You know, you can't describe it, but I just have comic line after comic line after comic line, and the audience is in hysterics. One night, I think I nearly got a standing ovation in the middle of the show the way they were carrying on. I was like, all right, we'll all just hold while you have a good laugh. Thanks. And it's just so gratifying to know that you're that character who gets to bring so much joy to the audience when they're busy watching something that does turn very, very dark.
Now, It does turn dark, and I think that's the secret behind this musical, because you go there to expect the happily ever after, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, intermission happens, and then, oh Lord, the hits the fan.
You know how many people don't know that there's going to be more?
They're I thought it was finished. I thought it was finished after an hour.
Everything's been wrapped up, and then they're like, but what could possibly happen?
What could really happen? It's called Death Becomes Her and Him. But again, a beautiful, interesting piece. It's not what people expect, but you do have a movie as a reference. I hadn't seen the movie nor the theatre production, but I just thought it's absolutely, I mean, it's fabulous. It's got such interesting, the music is great and the characters are great. I thought that Kate Normington blew it away.
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, just to get to work with Kate Normington is phenomenal. But yeah, it's one of those shows where I think every time you revisit it, every time you listen to it again, watch it again, you get more from it. I mean, I stood on stage last night, and because of things that had happened in my life, I suddenly looked at the song and went, oh, I've got a whole new take on this tonight. Okay.
Well, there's some fabulous things that are happening at Monte Cassino, and of course, I don't want people to miss them, because it's seriously, Men in Tutus, four shows, yes. They're going to rock and roll. They are going to rock and roll, and they're going to pirouette, rock and roll. and I'm serious. If you want to have a good laugh and enjoy great ballet, don't miss Men in Tutus happening at the one and only Monte Cassino. It's happening at the Teatro, so get your tickets. It's happening this week. Also, do not miss Into the Woods. It ends this Sunday, mm-hmm. and it's really, really superb. And again, Dark Carnival is a new store that's opened. If you're interested in all that comic book and
paraphernalia is a good word.
Get down there. And of course, lots of things to do, and especially around Easter. Next week they're going to have these bunny hunts, and there's lots of great things happening. So all I'm going to tell you is do not miss all the stuff happening at Monte Cassino. It's all about theatre with Monte Cassino. They've got it.
We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We rob from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like pansies, but don't get us wrong or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights, tight tights. Always on guard defending the people's rights. When you're in a fix, just call for the men in tights.
That's great, great fun stuff. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Myself, Alan Ford, and the one and only Nathan Rowe. And that's our feature brought to you by Monte Cassino. And on with the show. So, Candace,
mm-hmm.
you are a top singer and a top actress and a top comedian. Have you ever done stand-up, by the way?
Oh, my husband is on at me all the time about doing it. It's not going to happen. It's terrifying.
Because you're really good at it.
But...
and you find the roles that I've seen you throughout the years that are very comical.
Mm. No, I love doing comedy on stage with a script. To do stand-up is a whole other thing.
I'd love to... And then I want to come back to Priscilla for a second. Mm. Those boobs.
Not mine.
Okay, less. No. But so basically there's the scene where you're in the bar.
Yes.
And the boobs just bounce the whole time. And it is the most hysterical.
It's that is really hard work. I have back muscles. You wouldn't believe because of that now.
But now you know
because
how to twerk.
These boobs just bounce, which I always think would be lots of fun, actually, if you had to walk onto stage and do a comedy routine.
With my giant boobs.
With those giant boobs. I mean, they're very perky. Now,
oh dear, now we've gotten onto the...
All right.
So, Candace, you know, I want to tell you, have you heard of Skin Sense?
No, but tell me. So let me tell you about Skin Sense.
Now, Skin Sense is basically, do you want mind and body rejuvenation?
Yes.
Now, escape to the award-winning day spa in the heart of Rivonia, Johannesburg. Skin Sense Day Spa hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for women and for men. Now, the whole thing here is it's about your time, me time, mm-hmm. You know? You can also go with your husband and have a little kiss and whatever you want to do there. Also, you can have your nails done, you can have your hair done, you can do all the things. And I must tell you, it looks like you're in Bali. It really does. It's unbelievable. It's like you're in Bali, right down the road here.
And after a long evening of falling down,
yes,
you can be
massaged and rubbed.
Yes.
And of course, this coming month we were in Easter, and they've got a lot of Easter, great Easter specials. And just mention cliffcentral.com, and of course, they've got just these wonderful things that can happen, like which includes facials and massage combo deals, and it's a real Easter egg treat, and they make it really special for you. And they've got a great place to eat there and have breakfast. Yeah, well,
I had a homemade hot cross bun, which I've never had before.
Homemade?
Well, because I don't know how to make them at home. But these people do, and death by hot cross bun. It's a great way to spend Easter. Carbs.
Sure. Carbohydrates and hot raisins and all that beautiful stuff. Okay. So, now, I've got a voucher here valued at close to 700 rand for whatever treatment you want, and I'm going to give this to you.
Yay, okay, but there's a catch.
But there's a catch. There's always a catch. And this is what we do before half past 9 in the morning. We get somebody to sing a song. Now, we've found something. It's called Somewhere That's Green.
Throwback.
From Little Shop of Horrors. Okay, all right. Okay, and Candace, you're going to take this away.
If I remember the lyrics.
Okay, so
I'll be your guide.
Okay, we'll be your guide, Candace.
Just throw keys.
Welcome to the to the Unview, and this is what this is the song we do in the morning.
I know Seymour is the greatest, but I'm dating a semi-sadist, so I got a black eye. And my arms in a cast.
I'm falling down.
Still, let's see my a cutie. Well, if not, he's got in a beauty. And I dream of a place where we could be together at last.
Dialogue.
You can see your dialogue.
Oh, it's not mine. That's why I can't do it.
A matchbox of our own. A fence of real chain link. A grill out on the patio. Disposal in the sink. A washer and a dryer and an iron. In a tract house that we share, somewhere that's green.
Wow.
Too early in the morning.
That was great. How amazing was that?
I love how kind of domesticated her dreams are in that song.
Beautiful. Candace. Courtesy yes! Skin Sense.
Excellent.
I will be enjoying
that, yes.
Well, I tell you, we have got some incredible things happening at the theatre across the country. As you know, Chicago just finishes their last week.
Yes. I'm so sad I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. So Chicago, that goes off shortly. There's wonderful things happening. Nathan Rowe takes to the stage. He goes into rehearsals mm-hmm. for Kinky Boots.
With our lovely Earl Gregory.
Shame. He's going... straight into the next big thing.
Yeah.
It's actually funny. I was thinking while we were talking to the men in tutus about them doing point on the shoes. Mm-hmm. There's a moment in Kinky Boots where they discuss how drag queens need a more solid heel mm-hmm. because of the size of a man, you know, and especially for dancing. I don't know how people dance in Kinky Boots, but I'm going to learn.
Heels, you'll learn. Mm-hmm.
I will find a way. Brendan Van Rijn at Gate 69 will
he can give you,
you
lessons.
Lots
definitely.
Of lessons. Actually, you know, I'll send you to Brendan.
He's built out of adamantium. I don't know what that is. Do you know what adamantium is?
No, I don't know what that is. Help
come, Wolverine's skeleton is coated in it.
I feel like we need to sit Alan down and just go like, right, okay, yeah. These are all the movies yeah,
here
you
the
need
Marvel
to watch.
Movies, here are the DC movies.
I'm watching a lot of things on serial killers and other things.
Okay, like. That's disturbing.
He likes the villains. Oh, you'll love Avengers.
but lots of things happening in the theatre. Again, Punting Gate 69, their new show starts shortly. That's happening in the Cape. Things happening at the Baxter, the Artscape. Things happening in Durban. They've got Swan Lake. Sleeping Beauty happening at the Joburg Theatre. That beautiful ballet. And of course, lots of things happening. They've got the puppet, Mr. Puppet upstairs.
Mr. Puppet.
Conrad
Koch.
He's doing some. The Puppet Man. Great show there. And, of course, we're going to talk about. They've got Men in Tutus as they sit with us in studio. Our very special guest in studio, Candice van Lichtenberg. Is that right how we say it?
Close enough. I'm not fussy about how it gets said.
And we've got the cast and artistic director from Men in Tutus. Went along last week to watch the opening of The Brutal Truth. The Brutal Truth based on Tracy Goings' life. The show is called Brutal Legacy, and it was one of those shows, Nathan, that productions where have you ever seen an audience in tears, they were in tears, and silent,
and angry,
and an audience that was just, you could, a pin could drop throughout that particular production. It's based on the life of Tracy Goings, one of South Africa's top news anchors, television presenters, radio presenters, well-known personalities, who went through a very abusive relationship that became very public, that then was all over the newspapers, all over the magazine covers, and where the court case, or the underlining outcome of the court case was that it was a misdemeanor on his part, even though she was beaten and threatened, and it's just one of those stories that are just really, really sad. And what happens with domestic violence and abuse across the board, it happens with it happens to men, it happens to women, actually it happens to children, it's a real situation. And when you hear that Lesedi Job heard it on 702, the interview with Tracy Goings, and then she phoned Natasha Sutherland, who's one of South Africa's best actresses. And then Natasha wrote the screenplay, and then they took to the stage last week. I mean, what did you think?
Oh, blown away. I was, it's one of those plays that make you think, and I think that's obviously, you know, the point of a lot of straight plays, especially in South Africa. You know, they really want the audience to, you know, examine themselves, you know, like a mirror. Lesedi Job said after the play that, what they like to do is just hold up a mirror so that people can look into it and see if they like what they see, you know. And I think that's so important. And I think it's such an important play for this country in particular, just because we need to drive that message home that this kind of thing is not on. But it was beautiful to see how things have changed since the Tracy Goings incident. You know, how the culture has already changed slightly, but we still got a long way to go.
I think it exists. A violent society is, in general, a violent society, and it happens all over the world. It's not a South African story in particular. But on the line, we have the one and only Natasha Sutherland. Natasha, your portrayal was exceptional.
Thank you.
It must have been very difficult having Tracy sitting in the audience with a whole bunch of press and theatre goers that obviously are regulars that attend that particular theatre, Daphne's Place, which is the Orton General Theatre in the Square. and it must have been, was it weary knowing that she's sitting right there watching you, watching her own life?
Yeah, it was. it was, I can't say a huge amount of pressure because it was also a huge honor. You know, luckily she had come in and seen the rehearsal beforehand, which I thought was, you know, Lesedi thought was wise that she watched it before sitting there with everybody. So she was sort of aware what was coming, even though, of course, obviously, like she said at the Q&A, it still triggered her. So it was tricky for me as a performer and also someone who had, you know, adapted her book and written it into the play. I was sort of juggling both balls that night, hoping that, you know, both elements that I had contributed towards the piece would be things that would honor her. And I know apparently even after the show, my kids, my teenage boys, sort of bounded up to her and greeted her, and they said, one of the biggest things my mom was worried about was that, you know, her play, she wanted her play to honor your book. Mm. And she said she was very happy with it. So that was a huge, huge relief. But I think at the end of the day, that opening night, it's such a powerful story, and believing in the spirit of the story, you know, you went as a performer. We just sort of went and had to trust that whatever journey the individual audience would have, they would have, because it triggers a lot of people on many different levels. We've had such enormous feedback every night, so pretty special.
Well, it was really, really special, and I love the fact that it had so many things to offer. Natasha, wanted to also ask you the following. This did mirror some things that happened to you within your life. And let me just, I'm not going to go into the details specifically, but being vulnerable, being exposed in the media, being all over magazines, your personal life being told, did that come through within the character? Did you use some of your own points of reference?
You know, I'd love to be all sure about and say yes, but no. I think that, you know, when I wrote it and when I approached the rehearsal process, there was always that element of respect and empathy. Of course, mine was nothing compared to what Tracy went through. Mm. But I'd like to say that I would like to believe that the lens through which I tried to adapt her play and portray her in the play was definitely affected by my own sense of self and what I went through, and being very careful in trying to use the words she used in the book to represent it absolutely fairly and squarely according to how she wanted the world to see her. Now, she's incredibly brave, because there's a mixture of being a victim but also taking accountability and also dealing with things like shame, which so many people in toxic or abusive relationships, that's the thing that makes them keep quiet, you know. And that's why I think her piece is very brave, because the more we speak about it, the more we shine a spotlight onto the darkness.
And I think that's the key aspect. It's just that I realize that, you know, it's easy. Well, not, it's never easy, but it's easier, you know, when it's you're not a member of in the public eye. That's
yes.
I think that's because it's almost though you're double abused, and the story.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you know. I remember when we read through those articles all those years ago. You know, and you heard perhaps their side of the story or whatever they were trying to get at in different magazines and tabloids and newspaper tabloids, for that matter, because some of the newspapers do act as tabloids.
I know with my own experience, it was very much being completely exposed and also the shame, having to deal with the shame. But a very big part of it for me was the only way to heal was to sort of, you know, look at my accountability. But I mean, that was a different case to hers. And I think what makes her play and her story so much more potent is that, unfortunately, in society, we're so desensitized to stories of abuse that we sort of just go, oh, there's another one. And a lot of people said to me, well, what makes this one different? And I said, well, it's called Brutal Legacy for a reason, because, you know, it's not just about the abuse she experienced with her ex-boyfriend. It's about growing up in a household in Brits with alcoholic abusive father. And it's how that legacy perpetuates itself, even though, you know, people are strong and intelligent and make conscious decisions. If we grow up in a cycle of abuse, it skewers our perception. It skewers our discernment. And I think that's one of the powers of the play and her writing and the whole story, that you know, we need to look at ending that cycle of abuse. We need to look at changing our legacies for our children, which is essentially what she wanted to do, what she wants to try and do, what we all want to do.
And the other characters on stage, the other actors on stage, also superb. I mean...
Yes, yeah, awesome. We're such a good team, I think.
And it's a great team because it's three people. Charles, who plays the villain, and the prosecutor, you hate him at the end, eh? I must tell you.
Yeah, which one do you dislike the most? And I think he plays it so beautifully because, you know, we have to give, well, Tracy gravitas by making the man that she falls in love with believable because there was a connection and she did love him and there was this charm. You know, yeah, there were these red flags, but and I think Charlie did that. It was difficult for him, you know, obviously to try and get that mix, but he did. And obviously I think he had great fun with the DA.
It was quite very, very, very interesting to see that.
I love what they did, Natasha. Sorry, hi, it's Nathan here. I love what you did. They had the conversation between Jessica and yourself as the Tracy going from, what year was it,
97.
Yeah, 97. T1 and T2, yes. Yes, yeah. So you had Tracy from the past and Tracy writing the book. And they had conversations with each other. I thought that was so beautiful and clever.
It was really clever. That was
You know, when I wrote it, I thought this is a little mad, but you know what? Lafedi is such a powerful director. She has so much vision, and I remember giving her the first draft, and she phoned me and she said, "Listen, okay, I need to get into your director's head. Tell me about these two Tracys." And for me, it's such a natural progression, and I think that it's not a concept that's far removed from anybody. We constantly are having discussions with our younger selves about places where we feel we should have turned right when we went left. I can't think of anybody who cannot say that they haven't thought about that. And it was also a technical bridge of trying to build those worlds together. So it was the Tracy from the 1990s who's experiencing the abuse from her ex, talking to the older Tracy as she writes the book and then reflects back on her childhood in Britain and all, you know, all the events and choices that brought her to that point. So I'm glad you loved that medium. We're getting a huge amount of feedback from people. I think it's resonating a lot with the conversations they have with themselves. Maybe not everybody feels quite so mad now.
The Brutal Legacy is happening at the Auton General Theatre on the Square, and of course it's something that I think there's a lot of healing for a lot of people that happens there, and then for people that are in that situation. I would have hated to be a man sitting with my wife knowing that I've done that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, can you imagine?
Already? That would have been...
Would you sit through it? Would you walk out? Would it shift something?
You know, Natasha, but I think there's something else that we should add to this, is that people can change, and people can grow up, and people, you know, if you can deal with your issues, I think that's another thing that needs to be said.
Mm. And slowly, slowly, slowly things are shifting. I mean, even just in the space of her book, when she was little and she used to phone the police station in Brixton, they would say, "We don't deal with domestic violence issues." That's changed. Of course, the court attack that she went through, where she was actually made to feel like the perpetrator with that terrible verdict at the end. I hope I'm not misquoting in the book. In 1998, her name was used in the correction of the domestic violence bill. Obviously, still there's loads of work to be done, loads of work. To shift what's happening, but let's just hope this is one story out of many that can do that job.
Natasha, you're off. You're in a movie at the moment.
I'm what?
Are you in a movie at the moment?
No. I'm not in a movie. I'm filming. I film ETV Scandal.
Oh, you're filming Scandal. All right. So you're off to do Scandal. And what else? In the near future, can we see you in?
Well, I am busy doing writing projects. I just love writing, in case you hadn't noticed, with play. So I'm writing plays. I would love to turn Brutal Legacy into a screenplay as well. I'm busy taking a show I did last year called Revlon Girl, which is also at the Auton Square, directed by Stephen Feinstein. I'm busy taking that to the Hilton Festival. Not that I personally am taking that, I'm going to be in it. And I'm also, you know, juggling home, single mom, two teenage boys. You know, you get the picture.
Yeah,
I need my BioPlus.
Okay. Got it. But I think you did a brilliant job, and it was a brilliant job you writing it, writing the adaptation, and of course being on that stage. You were superb. And of course, catch Natasha in Scandal on ETV, and of course one of the best soaps in the country, most popular soaps. And there's
Thanks, man.
I remember seeing Natasha in Igorli like a billion years ago, and Kiddio.
Oh, so yeah, Kiddio. You know, I always say, I could win a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, it's highly unlikely, but I could win a Nobel Peace Prize, but I will still be remembered as the chick who used to speak to a donkey for a living. You know, and that's cool. That's cool. I'm all right with it.
My partner Jacques turned around and he said, it's Natasha from Kiddio. And I was like, oh, I forgot she was from Kiddio.
It was iconic, hey?
Yeah, it really was. I sort of throw it into the mix. Natasha, go well and be
Thank
good. Do
you
not
so
miss
much.
The brutal truth.
Thank you. Legacy. Yeah.
The brutal legacy. And it's a brutal truth.
Legacy.
Yeah. Got it.
Thank you very much, Alan.
It's wonderful.
Bye.
Yeah, something not to be missed.
Amazing.
Now, before we shift and discuss other things, we've got some very special guests in studio, and I want to come back to them. Men in Tutus. So, Victor, it's there are five different ballets.
Yes, we're doing five different pieces today.
Different pieces. What makes each piece different? Is everybody in tutu, white tutus the whole time?
Actually, they're not. They're different styles. The first piece is called Padakatra, and it's based on this gala that was put together by this man that thought it would be a great idea to bring the four greatest ballerinas of the time together to perform on stage together. But unfortunately, the four women didn't like each other very much. So he had all these problems trying to figure out how to coordinate the dances and who would go first and who would go last. And all. So there was a lot of fighting. So he finally said, we're going to go in order of your age, which was, you know, a lot easier to figure out than everybody wanted to go first instead of last. Mm-hmm. And then so that's in a romantic tutu, which kind of comes to the mid-calf, and then the next thing...
the romantic tutu.
The next thing is a classical tutu. It's Le Corsaire Pas de Deux, and that's exactly what you think, one of those little plates. And it's a pirate and a princess, and really it's just a showpiece with lots of, you know, great dancing and, of course, comedy. And then we move on to this piece called Go for Barocco, which is a parody of George Balanchine's work. He's a very famous... choreographer from the 20th century, and he kind of changed the face of dance by stripping down the costumes and just putting people kind of in practice clothes, you know, in these like little black leotards and skirts, so you could see these beautiful, you know, the beautiful legs and bodies of the ballerinas as they moved. And of course we're going to have some quite lovely bodies for you to look at during our
Yay,
performance of
that's great.
And then we finish with The Dying Swan, which is another, you know, classical tutu and many feathers and a lot of dying and molting.
A lot of dying.
Molting and a lot of, you know, coughing and all that stuff.
Basically, it's Into the Woods. That's it's coming towards that second, the end of the
also
show.
Also known as Duck L'Orange.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people may not realize, but The Dying Swan is not part of Swan Lake. It's a Sanson. And then we go on to the second act of Swan Lake, which has the famous Four Little Swans dance in it. And that's a story ballet. And so you have the story of a prince and a princess, and she's kind of been, she's under a spell. She can't break that spell until she finds a handsome prince who's going to promise to be faithful and love her and be true, you know, true to her. And of course, you know, back then I guess it was a little easier to do, but, you know, it's a big, big problem. She's stuck.
From what I understand, the show, you break down ballet for the non-ballet viewers. Is that true? Do you kind of make it simpler, easier to digest?
I think that, you know, it is easier to understand. We make it, you know, the story is clearer. I think, you know, because it's so, the comedy really makes it obvious how the story is progressing and the interactions between the people on stage. So, you know, that's why, I mean, it's kind of the comedy is the hook to show people that the dance is really not that complicated. Everybody thinks, oh my, I'm not going to understand it. It's just, you know, only for people that are really educated.
It's really not. You can come and have a good time with us.
That's the key. And of course, Joseph Phillips, one of the performers. You love being in South Africa?
Yeah, it's my first time.
First time, eh?
First time.
And you live in the Philippines, but you're from the US?
Yes.
And it's an extraordinary going around the world doing this.
Yeah, as a dancer, I mean, we travel all over because ballet is international. Mm. We don't speak a certain language, so ballet's like Latin, so you can do it anywhere.
It's magic. Thank you for joining us in studio, and Victor, we'll chat to you in a second. Before we get on to DJ Silver Sky, there's a couple of interesting things. We're talking about the Plush Party. It's very, very big happening at the end of this month. And, of course, making a big difference with Body Tech for Mozambique. We'll chat about that in a moment. But I want to just go back to, so your song's rocking.
Yeah.
Can you sing some of it for us?
Can I sing some of it?
Yeah.
You mean, like, can I play the song for you?
No, can you perform it for us?
Just a cappella?
Yeah.
A cappella?
Yeah, please. Okay, so please play a bit of the song, and then I'm going to hear some a cappella of it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. The song goes... Okay,
let's see how the song
in
goes.
In its professional form.
Yes.
Like this.
Okay. So why is it called Doom Cookie?
I went to a garage station.
Mm-hmm.
I have a penchant for cookies.
Okay.
And they made these amazing macadamia nut white chocolate chip cookies.
Cookies.
There. And one day I went there and I was like, oh, they taste a little, it's a funny flavor here. Like, what is it? And I look over at the cookie stand and there's some flies in the cookie thing and the lady's just spraying Doom all over
Doom on the cookies.
And I was like, that's the flavor I was tasting.
Oh my goodness, that's why you named it Doom Cookie.
Yeah, but in, you know, in South Africa, it's seen as like a blessing, because, you know, in some churches, they bless their whole congregation with Doom.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so okay, the song's about, it's about love relationships.
I noticed that.
You know,
were you sad when you wrote the song?
I was, yeah.
At that time?
Yes.
We moved on from there.
A few sad moments.
But you've moved on from there.
I've moved on.
You have, I know. Yeah. I know, we've met her. She's lovely, lovely.
you've met them?
The new one.
Oh, yes. Sure. Wow.
So this wasn't about the... Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but yeah. It's Doom Cookie, my lord. Okay, we're going to get you to wrap it up in a moment's time. Now, joining us in studio, DJ Silver Sky, Jacques Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Nice being here.
It's good. Plush Party happens the 26th of April. Brand new concept. Basically, the nightclub Taboo has opened a party here in Johannesburg for the gay and lesbian market, but of course for everybody, it's across the board. But going back to the old, traditional, proper, first-class club experience.
Yeah. I think it's more about commercial. I think it's creating a happy vibe in a club. Like the old radio remixes. I mean, people love to have that happy feeling, you know, they can go and like, oh, it's my song and it's a remix, and they can go and have a good time with their friends. And mm-hmm. It's a very good concept, I think.
And it's not underground. The whole thing is this. No. It's a party. It's called the Plush Party. It's really very. And I think it's important to say that, because sometimes the club scene can become quite seedy, and it really can. But this is upper class. Come and enjoy yourself. You can bring your mom. I mean, that's a cool thing. Why not?
You can.
Yeah, seriously, you can, that's actually, how we do it. I mean, no, I'm inviting my mother.
And I'm guessing the odd hetero can show up.
No, we want the hetero. They want everyone. Guys, listen, just because it's a gay party doesn't mean that it's only for gay people.
Well, I don't know. If I was throwing a straight party, that would send a different message.
Okay, we'll deal with it. It's called Plush. Get your ass there. How's that? But I was just saying, it's something different for the scene, and I think it's great. The lineup, some of the very special acts.
Yeah, the main act is Carl Wood, and we know that he's a spectacular DJ. I mean, he's played at all the clubs, Shimmy Beach in Cape Town, I mean, most of the festivals. And then obviously myself, DJ Silver Sky, and I'm more of the commercial DJ. So like I said, I like the old remix of pop songs. But I think it's going to be with me and Carl together. We're going to do a bit of one-on-one, and it's going to be a touch of everything, you know, to meet everyone's needs.
We'll also, it'll be hosted by Chris Emmanuel, Mr. Gay South Africa 2019. That's the day before Mr. Gay World opens in Cape Town. Also, I think Jordan Bruno from Australia, who won Mr. Gay World last year, will be there. And of course, we've got Eden Michelle, whose hit's gone all over the world. She just finished a European tour. She'll be there with Josh Middleton, who had 9 number one weeks on 5FM last year. So all in all, I think it's going to be a really, really cool party. It's happening at the Taboo venue, 26th of April. It's at 24 Central. And get your ass there. Get your ass there. It's going to be lots of fun. Free entry, by the way. And yeah, this Nathan, you're welcome. Everyone's welcome.
Thank you. Candace, that's all I wanted was an invite.
Everyone's welcome. Okay, that's the whole point of it. And then, of course, DJ Silver Sky, I want to touch on something else. The Body Tech, we had Kriya G on the show last week.
Yeah.
We got we're getting our asses kicked in Body Tech.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Body Tech, by the way, is where they put the machines on your body, and then they do these electrical movements. They're really good. I promise you, I've got things. My arms are I'm building beautifully.
If you exercise isn't enough torture.
Magnificent. No, it's basically it's maximum. It's
electrocuting you while you work out.
Yeah, it's really 20 minutes of your time, and I tell you, it's a whole week of your mass. It's really good. Basically, I'm just saying, people that are slightly lazier or busy, please rather do this. I recommend it highly.
I love the way you look at the ballerinas, that spend their whole lives training as if, like, you lazy people.
I'm going to take Joseph Phillips and I'm going to jump in Joseph's arms and see if he can catch me. Let's just see how that goes. But this is really cool because they're doing something for Mozambique, and this is really important. Tell us about it.
Yes, so Angelique Steyn is the owner and partner of Erasmus Kloof Body Tech.
In Pretoria?
Yeah, in Pretoria. So she she helps people with fitness. I mean, she helped me in my life. I've picked up 10 kilograms in about 5 months with Body Tech only, so it was an amazing experience. And she does charity work, like the Central Support for Mozambique. As we know, the cyclone that hit Mozambique on the 15th of March 2019, there was Mr. Pretoria, Jeremy Gagiano, and his dad on the farm in Mozambique. They housed 1,500 people. Sure.
After the cyclone.
Yes, and Body Tech Erasmus Kloof kind of raised funds and awareness that people send food, medicine, toiletries, and it's actually so bad. I saw a photo that one family gets a cup of beans. They are rationed to that. So that's the situation we have. And we have a problem with the trucks going over the border because there has to be clearance. Otherwise, they have to pay duties and all of that stuff. So anyone who wants to contribute, they can go to Making a Difference, NPO. It is on Facebook, also on Body Tech's Facebook, Angelique Steyn. And I really would say that you should actually,
help.
We can do help. We can do something about the problem.
The cholera is spreading quicker than wildfire. Mozambique's in big trouble. So is Zimbabwe, for that matter. And putting a couple of cans together and some rice and or stationery for kids or books for people to read, they've lost everything. Mm. People have lost everything. And
what's the name of that NPO?
It's Making a Difference South Africa NPO. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's make a difference. DJ Silver Sky, Jacques Jordan, thank you for joining us. And of course, go to check your Instagram out.
Jacques Jordan 88. I will post the photo of the Body Tech. There's a competition going on for the 80%. If you attend 80% of your sessions, you can win 10,000 rand. And only at Erasmus Kloof. If you want to join, you use the hashtag Kloof Central. You get a free trial worth 95 rand and then a waiver of the joining fee. So all of that will be on my Instagram.
That's really cool. Jacques
Jordan, 88.
The double A, Jordan.
Yeah, double A with 88 on Instagram.
It's been really good having you all in studio. I've got to tell you, Nathan, I love the show. It's great. Don't forget to watch Men in Tutus. It opens at the Teatro. It also opens in Cape Town, so it's happening in both cities.
Yes.
You can go to CompuTicket to book those tickets. Victor Trevino, Joseph Phillips, and Sean Pecoraro, thank you for joining us in studio. Candace van Lichtenberg, thank you, my love.
Thank you
beautifully for singing for us, and enjoy your lovely experience. And don't miss Into the Woods, also happening at Monte Cassino. The Brutal Legacy is happening at Orton General Theatre, the Square, and don't miss the Plush Party happening at Taboo, and that's happening on the 26th. This has been the Unview. It's been quite fun, eh, Nate?
It's been absolutely wonderful spending this morning with you.
I love spending the mornings with you.
Thank you for including me.
I love you dearly.
I love you dearly.
This is the Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.